For our scripture reading, we turn to a passage where we see someone who trembles with godly fear. Let us turn together to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. What is that crowd doing there? It's a big crowd. They're standing close to that lake. It's the lake of Gennesaret. It's in the northern part of Israel in Galilee. And it seems the people are pushing hard. They're stretching their necks. And they want to listen to that someone there in front of that crowd that is explaining the word of God to them. There seems to be eager expectation from this person. There seems to be great interest in what he is saying. Let's come a bit closer. Let's see what is happening. Now look at that. As they are pressing to come near and they are straining to hear, they almost push that one who is speaking into the water. There's almost no room for the Lord Jesus. Because that's the one standing here, children. That's the one who's speaking here. He is almost pushed into the water. There's seeming eagerness to hear what the Savior has to say actually makes it difficult for the Savior to continue to bring his message. And Jesus looks around. What shall I do? He looks around and sees two fisher boats, they're a little further on the beach. And they're a little further again. He sees two men. They are washing their nets and cleaning their nets. They're busy with it. And they know that if they don't do a proper job, their nets need to be washed and stretched. Otherwise, they rot and they break. Look. What does the Lord do now? Something unusual. He calls those fishermen. His name is Simon. I see him talk for a moment. And then Simon takes one of those ships and he pushes it into the water, and the Lord Jesus takes place in front of that ship, at the front part of the ship. And there, in the ship, he continues his sermon. That's unusual, children, don't you think? There in front of the ship, he continues his sermon and he uses this little boat there on that lake as a pulpit. And there he throws out his gospel net. Jesus is seeking to catch men. Jesus has come to seek and to save who are lost. But Jesus is doing more. Jesus is not just seeking to minister the word to those who seem eager to hear. Jesus is actually in the business of making disciples who will obey and follow him. And he does something extra as well. He's not only in the business of making disciples, he's in the business of breaking disciples. So that they are not just eager to listen to the word of God, but that they will go out and catch men also. Let's listen together from Luke 5, verse 1 through 11, how the Lord Jesus does that. How does Jesus make disciples who are not just eager to serve themselves, but to also go out and serve others and make them useful for his kingdom? How does he do that? Now, the first thing we notice here in this passage is that there's a broken night. There's a broken night. I don't think many of us like broken nights, do we? But the truth is that we live in a broken world. Things break down. Cars, bodies, houses, toys, relationships. Yes, even our brains and emotions can break down. Everything in this world can break down. Sometimes we worry when things break down. Other times we get frustrated. Other times we feel like failures when things break down. At times we experience broken nights. Moms, dads, maybe you know that for your kids. What about my daughter? What about my son? Sometimes business owners have broken nights. How is it going to go with my business? Office bearers, maybe you also for the church have sometimes broken nights. Sleepless nights. What will become of our church? Why is this happening to us? In our text, Peter, James, and John have also had a broken night. No, they were not worrying. They were working hard. Working hard to do their job, to catch some fish. They were men, strong men, confident men, able men. Being a fisherman was not a job that, if you were unwilling to work hard and not deny yourself, then you should better not do that job. They are used to work together. They are used to late nights, and many nights it went well. They were good at what they were doing. And many nights after a long night, they came there, children, with their little boat, and their boat was filled with fish. They came to the shore. Satisfied, a boat full of fish. But this night was different. No success, no fish, empty nets. It wasn't because they tried hard. It wasn't because they were inexperienced. It wasn't because they were not trying to be using their minds. They had a goal, clear goal, catch fish. Their goal was simple. Fill their boat. Now, can you imagine what happened when the Lord Jesus started to talk to Simon after he finished his sermon? And what must have gone through Peter's mind when he says in verse 4, "Now, Peter, launch out into the deep and let that net down for a draft." In other words, just go in your boat, away from the shore, go into the open waters and do it one more time. One more time. Throw those nets overboard. Don't you think that the response of Peter was, Lord, please. We are frustrated, we are tired, we feel like a failure. And now this command of Jesus. And Jesus is telling me more to do. That's his privilege. He can do that. He must do that. We can understand Peter probably if we say, and if he had just thought, well, the night is the best time, Lord Jesus. Don't you know that? Just do what you need to do. I do what I do. You can almost hear the frustration in verse 5, can't you? Master, we've toiled all night and we've taken nothing. It's been a broken night, a difficult night, a discouraging night. It's been hard. And the night was the best time to fish. So he could start reasoning in his mind and say, well, if we don't catch anything during the night, well, what about the day? Not much chance. Beloved, have you ever been in a situation like that? Have you ever been in a situation like that? When you're not so ready to follow Jesus and ask, do what he asks for. You're ready to give up. You've tried everything. You hand over your resources. Doesn't seem to work. And still you have there those empty nets staring at you. And it doesn't seem it's going to change very soon. And what do we need in moments like that? What do we need? We need the humility and the obedience to obey the voice of the Master, Jesus Christ. That's all we need. Especially when there is so much that doesn't go the way we want and hoped. Especially when we think it ought to have gone this way. And we start to think, well, let's do plan A, B, and C. That's always worked. Let's try it again. But beloved, Jesus knows what he's doing. He knows. He knows. He doesn't need our plans necessarily. He doesn't need our best ideas. He wants our obedience first and foremost. Our heart obedience. He wants our heart to be satisfied with him, with himself, with his grace, with his power, with his glory. Peter was a little frustrated after this broken night, and he obeys, but rather reluctantly. He says, Master, we've toiled all night. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let them down. This word master means he's the leader. You could almost translate it like he's the boss. Okay, then, I will let that net down once more because you say so. How do we respond, beloved, to Jesus' commands? Wholeheartedly, joyfully, trusting. Faith, however weak your faith might be. Or is it when it doesn't work, we respond much like Peter? Reluctant, frustrated. Jesus wasn't yet done with Peter. He's not done with me. He's not done with you either. After this broken night, something else needed to break. The net needed to break. Let's look at that secondly, a broken net. So there they go. They obey. They go and go to the open waters. They throw out that net. In their minds, it's not going to work. We did it all night. They throw out their nets. And something happened that nobody in that little ship had expected. Except for Jesus, because Jesus always knows what he's doing in your and my life, in their lives also. Something took them completely by surprise. Something happened to there in that little boat that day that if you would have seen it, you would have barely been able to believe that it happened. Something that changed Peter's heart, something that changed the course of the life of all these fishermen, something that can only be described as a glorious miracle of God. Look at that net. It's thrown into the water. It's called a treble net. It's a kind of a trap. We read that in verse 6 that they enclose the fish. That means that there's some heavy things on the net. It sinks, and then it catches some fish, and then they pull it up. They pull at a rope, and it traps the fish. That's the kind of net they used. And as these strong men, these able men, are pulling at the net, they can barely get the net out of the water. Listen to what it says in verse 6. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. It began to rip open. So they're losing fish because of the sheer number trapped in the net. Can you imagine what this must have been for Peter, James, and John, all night catching nothing? And there was no fish. It seems like there was no fish in the whole Lake of Galilee. And now this, the boat is filled. The net begins to break and burst. The boat fills right up. They have to get help. They beckon. That means they probably were too far on the lake and say, come help with their hands. And then the second boat comes alongside, and they try to fill the second boat as well, as best as they can. And both boats are so filled up that they both begin to sink, verse 7 tells us. Let's think about this for a moment. What's the difference? What's the difference? What's the difference between that long and hard and dark night? No fish. While they tried everything. And this morning. This morning. When the boat seems to be filled up and the net is breaking. What makes the difference? No, I should ask it a little different. Who makes the difference? Jesus makes all the difference. Jesus makes all the difference. Think about it. They were not so happy to obey, reluctant in obedience. no glory for these fishermen. And now this broken net, full of fish, because Jesus is with them in the boat. That's why. That's why. All glory goes to Jesus. Is it odd? We cannot explain it any and don't want to explain it any different than Jesus, who is full of authority when he speaks, even when we reluctantly obey. He is in control of our hearts, in control of Peter's heart that day. He makes his work effectual in us. Jesus is there. He is present in the boat. He is with them. He wasn't during that night. It can seem in our lives that the presence of the Lord is far away at times. It's because of Jesus. Jesus makes all the difference. Not only he speaks, not only he is present, but also his grace. Look at that ship, all the way filled up to the brim. The blessings are flowing over. Why? Because he is such a gracious Savior. It's his grace. It was not because of the fishermen. Jesus makes all the difference because he is Lord over all. He controls the movement of every little fish that came into that net that day. He knew where to stop the boat. Let the net down. He's Lord over creation. So all glory is for Jesus. He is the glorious Savior who does this miracle so that he would receive the praise and the adoration and the glory, not us. And his glory, when his glory shines brightest, it's always for the good of his people. You see, too often we look at circumstances, don't we? And we think this needs to change and this needs to be different and we can do this or this and that. But sometimes we are running before Jesus is with us in the boat and we have laid all our plans before him. And we are sometimes reluctant to hear the voice and the will and the commands of the Lord, our blessed Savior. When we have been given good brains, we use them and we should. But it's easy for us to trust those brains to get us out of trouble. When you and I are go-getters, and we know how to get a job done, that's the way we do it. It's natural. That feels natural. Let's do that. When we have a lot of skills, we say, okay, well, that's I can do that. And we trust in our own strengths. And we run so easily to our own strengths and think those are natural strengths are going to get the job done. But Jesus is saying and teaching us tonight through this story, that's not how it works in the kingdom of God. This broken net, and we have considered it before from another passage, it teaches us and it deserves repeating tonight. Without me, you can do nothing. That's the lesson of this broken net. Without me, you cannot do nothing. However much you try all night, Jesus is telling us, I am in control of every little fish that comes in, goes out, where they move. Jesus doesn't need you and me, and yet he wants to use us. But he wants to use us in the way that we are dependent upon his word, upon his Holy Spirit, and that we know that his presence is with us and empowers us and strengthens us, and that we are attuned to his will and his commands. That's when he can give the greatest of blessings. Jesus here shows that our natural strengths cannot accomplish what only Jesus can do. He's teaching here with a broken net an object lesson. Look at that net for a moment. It's broken. Right at the job, right at your daily life, there's only one rule. Don't try to accomplish in the flesh, as we heard also from John 6 this morning, don't try to accomplish in the flesh what must be accomplished in the power of the Holy Spirit. What is flesh is flesh. And what is spirit is spirit. And the flesh profits little. We heard it this morning. Everything should be accomplished with dependence on the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the lesson of the kingdom. And we need to learn that, don't we? Over and over. Without me, you can do nothing. Not even catch natural fish. If I don't bless it. However gifted we are. Beloved, I'm the first one to admit that I've often failed here. What about you? Those of us who are clever or given a brain, we trust our cleverness. Those who are of us who have been given money, we trust easily in our riches. Those who are gifted emotionally think, okay, let's do it emotionally. Let's try to... You know, those who have this willpower, we try to do it with our willpower. Those of us who love busyness and activities think activity is going to do it. But the Lord wants us to teach one lesson tonight. We find that lesson in Proverbs, don't we? And every one of us knows this text probably. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. You need to look to the master fisherman. He is in control of the water. He's in control of the sea. He's in control of the fish. He's in control of everything in this world. And this master fisherman is doing something interesting. He often uses broken things. Why? Because of our spiritual darkness, there's often no better way to get our attention than to break something of us. He knows that by breaking, sometimes he accomplishes much more and is much more beneficial for you and I than what we want to do with our natural abilities and strength. And when he leaves that intact, he knows it's not going to do the job. Beloved, Jesus not only uses broken nights, broken nets for his own glory, Jesus aims at broken people who can be safely used for his kingdom and for his glory, who don't steal his glory, because that's what we are prone to by nature. We want some glory for ourselves. He wants broken people who depend on him and know their spiritual poverty. And I've learned, without me, you can do nothing. But also, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In the eyes of such people, Jesus becomes glorious. Let's look at that after we sing. Children, I think, must have been an amazing sight when those strong and capable fishermen are rowing back to the shore, and there they sit in that little boat in quiet amazement. Around them is this pile of flopping fish. Much more fish than they normally caught. And as they row to shore, or perhaps when they come to shore, there's something inside of Peter that's mightily changed and touched. He knows it deep in his heart. This is beyond me. Peter recognizes this is something God alone can do. Listen to what Peter does and says in verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." There is this trembling, this fear. He's actually terrified at the presence of the Lord. When he sees something of the holy presence of God in Jesus, he responds like each one of us when God shows us our first glance of our sinfulness. Yes, our sinfulness. And also something of his grace, glory, and power. He experiences what each one of us experiences when God comes and puts his finger on our sins. He responds a similar way as Isaiah. Do you remember in Isaiah chapter 6 where he was before that holy throne of God and he sees all those angels crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." And what does he say? The first thing he says is, "Woe is me, I am undone. Here is the problem. I am a man of unclean lips." And here is a similar experience for Peter. "Lord, depart from me, I am a sinful man." He knows himself in that almighty presence of God, that holy presence of God. Here, Jesus, the God-man, that Holy One, he didn't know him perfectly yet, that didn't matter, but he saw something of his glory. And he knows something about his sin. And he can't stand that sin and guilt, that sense of sin and guilt. And he doesn't know how to deal with it well. The only thing he can ask for from the Lord is this feeling needs to go. So Lord, please go away. Then that feeling, that sense of guilt and shame will go away too. Beloved, have we been in that place? Do we know this place? In God's holy presence, we know our guilt. We know our condemnation. We are humbled. We are broken. That changes our voice, our attitude. "Master, we've toiled all night," he said, anointed in verse 5. And now he says, "Depart from me. I'm a sinful man." Oh, Lord. You see, such a change. Such a change we need. The tone is changed. The attitude is changed. Because the heart is changed. And that's what Jesus wants for our lives. He not only uses broken nets and broken nights, He aims for you and for me for a broken heart. We sing it. That's what God delights in. That's the kind of sacrifice that pleases Him. Broken hearts, beloved, start to think what we are entitled to. They taste something of that amazing grace when they see at what is provided in the gospel. For Peter, it here was like what he saw in that boat, the grace of God. And it left him astonished, verse 9 tells us. What does it mean literally? It means he was overwhelmed with stunning wonder. He was surrounded by awe. Amazement surrounded him. He was completely overpowered by what just had happened. This Savior, so graciously, so gloriously, filled this boat with so many fish. He realizes how reluctant he was to obey. Here I am in the presence of the Almighty One. No one can do something like this but God. Do you know this? Have you experienced this? And then he addresses him, O Lord. No longer Master, but Lord. Sovereign Lord. Everything is under his control. Every fish. Each one of them. Sovereign Lord, who is holy, altogether different, altogether sinful, sinless, who opens his eyes. So that he now sees. Peter is a broken man. This is only the beginning. We heard about his confession this morning. And there were many more moments that he had to come to that place where the Lord had to break him even further. Brokenness. Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Not just words. But reality, do we know this, beloved? So important. So important. Maybe you wonder, what does it look like? What does it look like? Because God loves to honor the brokenhearted. Well, let's contrast it for a moment to what it is not. Pride. Proud people focus, I quote here from somewhere else. Proud people focus on the failures of others. Broken people are overwhelmed with a sense of their own spiritual need. Proud people have an independent, self-sufficient spirit. Broken people have a dependent spirit. They recognize their need for God, His grace, and also their need for others. Proud people claim rights. They have a demanding spirit. Broken people yield their rights. They have a meek spirit. Proud people desire to be a success. Broken people are motivated to be faithful and to make others a success. Proud people feel confident in how much they know. Broken people are humbled by how much they have to learn. Proud people don't think they have anything to repent of. Broken people realize they have need of a continual hard attitude of repentance. Proud people desire to be served. Broken people are motivated to serve others. Where are you? Where am I? If we examine our hearts before the Lord, do we know, beloved, this brokenness? Do we know what it means to have our attitudes tested in the radiance of His holiness? Without brokenness, we cannot be saved. Without brokenness, we can only be a hindrance to the kingdom of God. Peter said, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." Does it echo with your heart tonight? He said, "Depart from me." Peter didn't understand. This is at the beginning of his discipleship, of his spiritual journey. He didn't understand that Jesus shouldn't go away, but when you have feelings of guilt, that you should go to Jesus. Because Jesus knows exactly what to do with those. That you have to come closer to Jesus. Do we know that when we feel exposed, where to go? Right there where Peter is, at the knees of the Lord Jesus, at the feet of the Lord Jesus, to confess your sins and to trust in the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. All sin. Later he would understand, "Humble yourself," he would write, "therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Peter still, beloved, had to learn that Jesus had to come and stoop down and wash the dirty feet of the disciples. And not only that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Peter had to learn that Jesus was willing to stoop down all the way to that terrible cross, that burden where he shed his own blood for people who struggle with self-centeredness, with pride. He humbled himself all the way to the death of the cross. For people like that, so that we can be delivered and be useful and faithful in His kingdom. Peter was called to follow the Savior that later would ask him, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me?" And he asked that question tonight again to us, each one of us. Do you love me? Not just in words, but in actions. What does your life tell? Will you follow me? Then break with your old life. And that brings us lastly, fourthly, and finally to a broken partnership. Not only was Peter overwhelmed and astonished, verse 10 tells us James and John were as well, and that's where he had his partnership, his business partnership with James and John. They were together running this fishing company. They were sharing everything. But it was only a few words that changed each of their lives around. Listen to verse 10b. "And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." From now on, those broken nets are going to be used again. Not used again, those broken nets that are pictures of our natural strength, the broken nets of picture that we can do things in our own strength, which is nothing more than broken nets. Jesus is saying, exchange that kind of net and use the better net, the gospel net of Jesus. Jesus had shown something there at the front of that ship. He had thrown out that net among the people. Then he threw that net into Simon Peter's heart, and he was caught in the net of the gospel. And now he says, I can teach you to use that very same net. Follow me. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Yes, you are a sinner. Don't let your sin overwhelm you. Yes, my glory, my holiness will continue to expose your sins, your pride, and your darkness. Yes. But I will teach you. I will teach you how to use this net. I will teach you how to catch men. Nothing like the fish you caught that you brought dead to the market. No, this is different. Altogether different. These are living people. You will trap them in your net of the gospel. And as they are trapped in the net of the gospel, they will experience the greatest freedom they can have in the blood of Jesus Christ. Have you been caught in that net? Do you know this freedom that it comes through the forgiveness of sin when you look to the cross in Jesus Christ? Look to Him right now. Then you can say this freedom, sing about that freedom. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. That's what we learn. That's what He wants to teach us when we are caught in this net of the gospel. How blessed we are when we are broken. And then this story ends with this broken partnership. We read in verse 11, and they, when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Him. It is broken sinners, beloved, that want to follow Jesus. Broken sinners who forsake all and have one goal in life, to know and to please and to obey Jesus. For some, it might look like Peter. They have to leave everything behind. For others, it simply means that Jesus now becomes the number one in their lives, not their business, not their work, not their family, not even their church, not even their home, their school, their ease, their pleasure. No, not their idols, but Jesus becomes number one in our lives. Yes, that's a process. You see that with Peter. It took quite a bit. But that's what it means to be broken, beloved. That's what it means to be a disciple. That's what Jesus still requires from all of us who come and fall before His knees and confess our sins and want to worship Him in spirit and truth. When we see His glory, when we taste His grace, we begin to follow Him. Where are they going, children? Look. Jesus goes before, and then His disciples, they follow Him, go after Him. And not just Peter, but John and James too. They used to work together as fishermen. And now their partnership in this fishing business is broken. Maybe they have come sometimes and used their ships in between when Jesus was in Galilee again. We don't know exactly, but Actually, their partnership is not broken because they have a better partnership. They have a partnership in the gospel. Together, they follow Jesus. What about the future? Unknown. But what does Jesus say? Fear not. Jesus knows that the future can make you and me afraid. But when you and I follow and forsake all and learn to throw out the gospel net right where we are, right where the Lord has put you in your life, you may have great expectation. Not from ourselves, but from Him. Look at what He did for Peter. Look at what happened at the day of Pentecost. We hope to celebrate it soon. There you have broken Peter, filled with the presence of God and Christ's Spirit. And when Peter then throws that net of the gospel out that day, what a glorious miracle catch that was. Not of fish, but of men. And God fulfills, Jesus fulfills His word to Peter, you will catch men. Beloved, let us never forget that God is still the same God who speaks through these pages to us today. Same God, the same Lord Jesus Christ. He uses broken nights. He uses broken nets. He uses broken men, women, boys, girls who break with their former life and who begin to follow Jesus Christ and who say, Jesus needs to be number one and He alone. He uses such broken people. And He says, I can fill that net. Your empty net. So that we only can do what Peter does in this story. And we fall down on our knees. And we are astonished and overwhelmed by His glory and by His grace. And by His promises. And by His faithfulness. And we say that He is willing to be so gracious to me, such a sinner as I am. Do you know these broken sounds of gospel grace? It's Jesus in our lives that makes all the difference.